Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is BetSweat, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network. BetMGMNetwork.com takes you to the Odyssey app. Over on YouTube, go to the BetMGM Network page and subscribe over there. Get all the great content that pops up throughout the week over there on YouTube. Joe O, Sammy P. So on Wednesdays, what we do is power rankings. We come up with something different to power rank every single week. And we figured, after a five-week sample size, why not? Let's revisit Super Bowl bets, the best bets to take a look at. We are live on X this hour. Make sure you watch us there. Bet_sweats. Sam at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. Let's start with this question before we get to our selections and our top three. I did a short shot AFC-NFC. Didn't plan it that way. It's just what happened. Short shot in each conference and a long shot in each conference. By us talking about three, four teams that we like to win the Super Bowl, where we think bets that that hold a little bit of value at this juncture, or venturing into Costos territory.
Would you like to explain what that is?
Well, we've talked about it many times on the show, but sure, I will. It seems most weeks he has an addition to a Super Bowl pick. Lately, it's been Kansas City. He's Jim Fossiled it, according to him. Chips in the middle of the table. But we've heard the same thing about other teams. So if we're rattling off three, four bets, we're not telling you to bet all of them. We're just giving you ideas that we think hold some value. I think some we like more than others because we're not going to end up, we don't want to end up with too many teams at the very end. You've got to take a stand at some point or just, you know, otherwise just bet every team and you think you're going to win in the end. Okay, good luck with that. And you can run around town and you can post it on social media and say that you had the winning Super Bowl pick. But you've got to take a stand at some point. And it's difficult in sports like golf where you have so many different golfers and you could make a case for so many people, but you do have to take stands on this stuff. So I'm just asking, I want to be careful not to do that, not to say that, you know, between us, we talk about like eight different teams in this segment, and then we're not really taking a stand.
I'll couch it this way. I have one Super Bowl pick. I'm a sheet of integrity guy. I fill out one bracket in March Madness, not 10, one. I make one Super Bowl pick. That's the Buffalo Bills. I made that pick back in August. But for the entertainment purposes of this segment, these are bets to consider right now given the prices. That's how I view the exercise. If I was naked on this market, which I'm not, I have Buffalo and I feel good about my 7-1 position, what would I be looking at? I'm not adding all three of these teams. I don't suddenly like four teams to win the Super Bowl. For the power ranking purposes of this segment, if I didn't have a bet right now, here are the three teams I would make. Let me also start by saying I didn't put Buffalo in because I already have Buffalo. So I did this in a weird way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I'm not putting Buffalo on there at plus 450. I tried to get a good number on three teams. Yeah, I mean, it's an exercise in trying to find the right team at the right price. Yeah. And that's how I sort of perceived it, and that's what we're going to do. Again, I'm not saying go bet all three of these teams. But these are the three that I would consider given the current price. Let me go three to one.
Let me just also say, like, we're obviously having fun with Nick. Nick is like we can play the clip. It's pretty funny. He's all in on Kansas City, all in. Like, that's what it seems to me. Like, after that Jaguars loss, 10-1 play, right before the Lions game, all in. So, yeah, I'm curious where you are since you are omitting Buffalo from this conversation. Go ahead, Sam. Start us with number three.
I think actually do we have the clip? I saw the clip getting fired.
Do you want to do it?
I mean, we could do it. Sorry, Gerch, to make you tap dance around this, but this is, I believe, from You Better You Bet yesterday.
I'm going all in. Taking the chips, and those sons of bitches are going to the middle of the table. Sunday Night Football this week. The Chiefs host the Detroit Lions. The Chiefs are going to win on Sunday night and are going to score 35 points in the process. And when that happens, Kansas City will be 3-3. They are about to rain hellfire and brimstone down on everybody. 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. 5-1 to win the AFC. Plus 185 to win the AFC West. Like Jim Fossil 25 years ago. I am all in.
Okay.
So for... Yeah. No Green Bay. No Washington. No Cincinnati. This is it. This is... He's Chiefs. Chiefs Island. Sorry, Paul went to Chiefs Island yesterday on our show.
Yeah, I got there first. But
you got there. He joined you. Like, he was reaching out to get onto the island. Like, there was this big step he had to make, and you pulled him on, or no? Or did you push him in the ocean?
There's only one man with the oar pushing him.
There's
back.
Only one raft.
No. There are multiple entries to the island. There are multiple ports.
Who's eating who?
No. I heard we could only afford one raft. There's only one.
No. Yeah. You know what? I texted Nick yesterday. Chiefs, handshake emoji. So maybe this is like when Sting turned on the white NWO and joined the Wolf Pack. Maybe now it's me and Kostos. I don't know. I will say this. I was texting a guy I know who's like,
we're not taking Zimmerman. We're not taking him.
I texted the squares better. I know. He's always a money line parlay guy, like five of them, like big favorites. Always betting those. I was like, all right, maybe if you want to skip a money, like one of your big money line parlays this week, Chiefs of 10-1's not a bad idea to consider. Do that instead. He goes, I think their time is up. I was like, hell yeah. Hell yes, ooh. You do. Squares better, I know.
Their time is up. Okay, because they lost a few one-score games. All right, go ahead, Sam. Where you got, number three?
So, look, the Chiefs could win Sunday and still not win the Super Bowl. Anyways, all right, so the first team that I looked at, you have to get here if you don't believe in the Chiefs in the macro, and that's the Denver Broncos. Now, my calculus has changed because the Chargers are just decimated by injuries. I really liked a lot of what they did this offseason. I love the draft pick. I love them having Slater and Alt on the bookends on the O-line. But everybody's hurt. So when everybody's hurt and the quarterback just gets teed off on week after week after week, that can't last. So some are going to go to the Kansas City raft. I'm going to go to the Denver side and believe in that defense. That was a very impressive win going into Philly. I thought when they went for two, man, that was like, holy cow. Sean Payton's going for the win here in Philly. He's going for it. I think that was a huge moment for that team. And, okay, the Chiefs are 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Broncos are double, 22-1 at BetMGM. I think given the way that they're coached, the way that their offense has grown, they've got a bunch of speed. The O-line looks good. And defensively, you mentioned Nick Benito. Benito's unbelievable. You got Sertan locking down the number one receiver. This team has the sauce, and I think they can make a run. And again, Kansas City's 10-1, Denver's 22-1. So I went there. Number two, offensive and defensive line-wise, there are not many teams in the league better than the Rams, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I think a lot of people thought, well, the defense can't be that good again. Well, it might be better this year. Their front seven, I would put up against basically anybody in the NFC right now, the way that they've drafted and developed. And then you get Stafford, a guy who's done it before, who's won it before, Nacua, Devontae Adams. Hopefully Kyron Williams can hold on to the football. That remains to be seen. But the McVay Stafford combination and the price again, 17-1. The number one team though would be the Lions. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I was warming to the idea of Detroit. You know, you talk to some Vegas guys, they say Detroit's the best team in the league. We'll see. We're always prisoners of the moment in this racket. But my preseason prediction was Buffalo over San Francisco. Because of the Niners' injuries, I've been trying to look in a different direction on the NFC side of the bracket, and I've landed on Detroit. I'm not a big Campbell guy, but this year I am. Not a big Goff guy, but this year I am. They're streamlining the ball to their best players, and defensively, there's no way they can be as unhealthy as they were last postseason when they were just crushed by injuries. I like what I see from Detroit, and if they win on Sunday night, if they do, we're going to be hearing it all week next week. Oh, Detroit's a team to beat. So I want to get ahead of that today.
All right. Very good. Broncos 22, Rams 17, Detroit Lions at 7. Those are Sam's three Super Bowl bets that you can consider making today. So I mentioned that there are two shorter teams that I like, and then there are two long shots. But that's four, and we've got three spots. So this is a bit challenging. Number three, here's where I'm going. I want to talk about jumping on a team before a move, before a big win. That's what I want to do with the Seattle Seahawks. Before they go to Jacksonville and win this weekend, I want to take Seattle at 50-1. I trust the defense, and I think I was wrong on Darnold. Every week so far, he's impressed me a little bit more. And so now we're at a sample size of, okay, all of last year and into this year. You look at what he's done with Seattle. And yeah, JSN helps and the run game at times certainly helps, but it's all coming together for Seattle. Like, this is a team that for some reason people don't want to talk about, maybe because they're the third team in the division, because you're dealing with San Francisco, LA Rams, as Sam mentioned. People forget about them. You get a big number. You get a number of 50-1. So I'm there with Seattle. Before I go to number two, let me just like throw out in that same vein an honorable mention, another team that is also 50-1 that I was very close on getting, but they're on bye this week. I'm not going to worry about, obviously, results this week, so I can hold off on this. The two teams I like that are long shots are playing each other next week on Monday Night Football. Seattle and Houston. Houston's a team that I'm keeping a close eye on. Very similar situations. They are also the third team in their division. Nobody's paying attention to them. Indianapolis, all the talk, and now Jacksonville after Monday night. Watch out for the Texans. Both of these teams, outstanding defenses. I worry about the offensive lines. I get that. When you're at 50-1, you're going to have a lot of issues there. But keep a close eye on the Texans. We know about the bad start, but things are starting to turn on for them. So. Keep an eye. I know soft opponents played the Ravens at the right time. I get all of it. Just keep a close eye on them. There's value there. So I'm going Seattle 50-1 at number three. Everything we've talked about in this segment has me concerned. Don't care. When I was looking yesterday at the Super Bowl odds, this is the first thing that jumped out to me. It's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs.
All in?
Right. And Rice is suspended for one more week. We saw what happened when Worthy came back in his seven touches, leads the team rushing and receiving. Now, seven touches this past week with Worthy, not as impactful. He's dealing with the ankle. I'm not saying I'm all in, but if I'm making one bet with an AFC team, this is the team. This is it. If I told you before the year, all right, you're getting the Chiefs at 10-1. I think you're jumping. And now they've lost a few close games. They've showed that they're a little normal. But still, Mahomes is turning it on, and he's looking like that top-notch quarterback we know. Man, when they have Worthy and Rice healthy, and Kelce was contributing on Monday night, it's going to be a dangerous offense. The only question you have is about that defense. But I go Chiefs 10-1. I couldn't put him number one. I had to put him number two. Partly because of everybody jumping on them right now, apparently. The other part, Sam, is because we agree the top spot belongs to the Detroit Lions.
The
best team in football right now. I saw an 8-1 out there this morning. And what do you know? I mentioned my long shots. Next week, they play each other. Well, Sunday night, the short shots are playing each other with the Chiefs and the Lions. So there's going to be value, especially on the loser of that game. Can't wait to watch this game last night. But I'm going 1 Lions. Can't believe I said that. 2 Chiefs, 3 Seahawks. The Texans get an honorable mention as a long shot.
So if you follow this chronologically, Kostos takes Paul's sloppy seconds, and then you take Paul's – no, hold on. I just butchered that. Paul went first, then Kostos, then you. So you get sloppy thirds.
Hold on,
KC.
I didn't give a lightning bet or anything, but I did bring them up yesterday at 10-1. Did I not? No? I didn't?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's not as funny if you did, though.
We say a lot for 3 hours. I don't like it.
All in.
I didn't say that. Not saying that. Please take that off. Joe Sammy P. Oh, the people can't see it. Only we see it. We'll continue here over on X. Live dogs and teasers. BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Disgusted with myself after that power rankings. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic, BetSweats, BetMGM Network. At least we're on the same page with the Lions, and I can't believe we're there. Because I've been an anti-Lion guy for as long as Dan Campbell's been the head coach of that team. And it's taken this year for me to realize, well, I'm also out. See, that's part of this process, being out on Baltimore, being out on Philly, maybe some other teams like, nope, nope, nope. And then you're kind of left with what you're left with. So we both end up with the Lions number one as far as bets to make right now in that 8-1 range for the Super Bowl. But Sam, you are the guy, and you've been on record. You've bet on the Chiefs year after year after year. Did the Chiefs not make your list because of something you're seeing or on the field with the team, how the season projects? Or is it just, look, I've taken my stance with Buffalo. I can't now say Chiefs too.
Yeah, I don't really want to wiggle off the Buffalo position. I've been joking, and I joked all last week, like I'm already ready for the Bills to lose to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, like just to have some fun with it. But I do believe in Buffalo, and I don't think losing to Drake May, as great as he looked, is a bad loss. I mean, it's a bad loss when you lose to the Jets, when you lose to the Titans, when you lose to the Bears or whatever. Like, those are bad losses. Losing to a division rival on Sunday night when the kid played, I don't want to say a perfect game, but a near perfect game, you tip your cap. I didn't downgrade the Bills from that performance. They turned the ball over 3 times. They fumbled it twice. Allen threw a pick. Like, look, the Patriots deserved the win. Patriots were the better team. But I still think if that game is played 100 times, the Bills win 70 of 100. Like, it's not, It's not like I'm wavering off of my position. I also think that we're just assuming that Worthy's going to stay healthy, that Kelsey's going to be, you know, good enough to last the entire season. I mean, it's October and he already looks like he's running with ankle weights on, although he did catch a touchdown in the game against Jacksonville. Worthy's been hurt 3 of 5 weeks. I don't know. I mean, on paper, you bring Rice back, the offense gets better, but you know, there's a guy that hasn't been healthy. So I don't know. I just feel like it's a weird year for them. But they're also, to your point, they're helped by Baltimore being atrocious and the Bengals having no Burrow. So if yep. there's a year where they can kind of sneak in, not that they'll ever be under the radar, but by default, they might make the postseason and make a run because a lot of the heavy hitters around them have just taken a step back or multiple steps back.
They need to win this game against Detroit. It can't fall to 2-4. Cannot fall to 2-4. You've got some winnable games after that with Vegas and Washington, but then you go to Buffalo. You go to Denver. You host the Colts. All of a sudden, that game looks very different. Schedule is not easy, my friend. Like, there are a lot of rough patches, and you have a target on your back just by what has happened for a number of years. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. All right, live dogs and teasers. Like last week, we have a number of big favorites. Now, we've got a 2-touchdown favorite. We've got a number of games that are right around 7. The game tomorrow is sitting 7.5. We've got the Eagles at the Giants as a road favorite in that divisional matchup. Other big numbers, that's a big number Sunday morning over in London. Broncos favored over the winless Jets, sitting 0-5 on the season. Talking about with Nate Collins, the Colts, a touchdown favorite over Arizona at some spots, mostly 6.5 at this point. So let's start with the bigger numbers, the ones that are at or close to a touchdown or higher. Any live dog in any of those scenarios?
Yeah, I could get behind the Giants for sure at 7.5. Short okay. turnaround for the Eagles. They just got stunned at home. Now they got to come back and travel, multiple days later. And I say multiple because it's only a couple. It's not like they have the whole week to get ready for this game. You play on Sunday and then you're playing again on Thursday. You got to travel. And we've seen some support. Look at these books. Look at Circa, Westgate, South Point, Chris, all down to 7. Buckeye at 7. BetMGM still giving you 7.5 on the Giants, but you got to lay $1.15. So I think there's a good chance by game day tomorrow, a lot of the hooks are gone. At 7.5, I'm definitely intrigued by the Giants. That's where I kind of wanted to start. And then my favorite dog of the week, you kind of talked about this already. I really like Seattle at Jacksonville because now Jacksonville is, a Super Bowl contender. And now, Trevor Lawrence is going to take the next step and Liam Cohen fixed the franchise. And I don't know. I think Seattle is as good as Jacksonville, if not better. So the fact that this opened to pick them and now it's sitting 1, they obviously want you to take Jacksonville. Not want you, but they're like, oh, all you got to do is take the team that just beat the Chiefs and you'll be fine. So I love Seattle's defense. I think they can do a lot of things to take away a lot of the things Jacksonville does well. And I will definitely, like, Seattle is on my short list. That's one of my favorite NFL plays of the week so far.
Okay. Same here. Yep. The Rams. I didn't mention that one at Baltimore. Want to see what that injury report is? But for those alive in Survivor, do you have the balls to go to the Rams? I don't care how bad it is. I'm assuming Lamar's not going to play. But the defensive injuries mean something as well. After what happened last Thursday, and now McVay has a week to stew on that one. You got the extra rest. Can you go to the Rams? Because the world is going to be on the Packers. And maybe something crazy happens. You never know with this league. But that's going to be interesting. I'm not going there with the Ravens, but I'm just curious if people are going to go there with the Rams. You know, Nate Collins talked about it. I thought about it as well. Just all this noise with Arizona. And you mentioned the Jaguars, where they're going to go. What about the team that they're competing with in that division at the top? The Indianapolis Colts. Nothing has gone wrong for them for the most part. Outside the Adonai Mitchell, where, they could be undefeated at this point. We've seen it so many times in this league. You get all that noise. Everybody's talking negative on you. Coach gets fined. Coach apologizes. Maybe they unite for this one game. And they go on the road where Kyler actually plays better. And they win at the Colts, handing them their second loss.
Do it. Money line?
I could see it. I could see it, man. It's the reason we're not at 7, just sitting there at 6.5. That was going to be fascinating. You know, Cleveland-Pittsburgh is a big line that's sitting 5.5. What a disadvantage, man. Not only do you have the rookie quarterback making his second start now, they're coming back from London without a week off. They're right back to the field, and Pittsburgh's coming off a bye. Like, what a strong disadvantage for Cleveland. And so now with that trade yesterday, man, we are one injury away from seeing Shedeur Sanders. We're one sack gone bad, a turned ankle of Dylan Gabriel, of seeing Sanders. It's already Gabriel 1, Sanders 2 on their depth chart.
Joy. I
Shedeur broke him.
Oh, man. I was like, wait, are we all out or is it just Sam?
No, oh, I'm out. I'm out on Cleveland. In this spot no,
you,
against Pittsburgh.
You froze
I'm
for
out.
A minute. That's what I was referencing.
Oh, I
you're
froze?
Good now.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
It's been an interesting show from a tech standpoint, has it not?
yes.
Let's see. I'm out on, not on an internet, but on. I'm out on Cleveland in the spot.
Should Vegas be favored by 5 over Tennessee?
They are betting the Titans. This opened 6. Now we're 4.5.
That's a lot. I get why they're betting the Titans. Am I going to do it with my money? No. This is probably a game I'm just going to be on the sideline. Whatever, man. I'm not betting Geno. I'm not betting the Titans on the road the way that Cam Ward has looked. Like, the way that they won that game, just all the things that had to go their way against Arizona. I'm not touching this game. Are you?
Nah. I hate myself, though, for many reasons. I was on Tennessee the 2 weeks before and then told myself I'm not doing it again. And then, of course, they won. And my biggest fear is that I would go back to Tennessee and they would lose by 14. So just staying away. That's all.
New England, a 3.5-point road favorite now at New Orleans.
That line.
Right? Right? But can you get there?
Probably.
Okay. Plus 3.5, though, not money line.
Rattler Moon.
Back to back wins.
I mean, look, if you want to forecast where the room's gonna be in the NFL on sides,
New England
minus 3, 3.5 is gonna be one of the most popular picks of the entire weekend.
One more dog worth mentioning because it's getting a lot of chatter here, of course. Oh, it's the revenge. It's the revenge spot. Bears Commanders, Monday night, sitting 4.5. Where does this line go? Does it go up? Does it go down? You had Daniel's return. We'll see where the injury report is with McLaurin, Noah Brown, among others. The Bears secondary as well. Are they going to be healthier after the bye week? But long time to prepare for Ben Johnson and company. His first bye as a head coach, and they also get the extra day with Monday Night Football.
I can't bet Chicago here. Just can't. Won't do
it. I know. But more than a field goal, that kind of stinks too.
Mm-mm. Ain't happening. I'm not biting that bait. Not happening.
I'm not doing it. All right. Teasers that jump out. What do you think? As far as short numbers that we want to move up, like, yeah, I mean, we like Seattle to win. So I guess you could make that case. I don't know if it's really a teaser, but I don't see a lot of numbers shorter than a field goal outside of Detroit. Detroit plus 2.5 to 8.5. That makes a lot of sense. But the teaser options, it seems like you're going to have to move a lot of favorites down, Sam.
Yeah, starting with Denver. Do you really think the Jets go to London and save their season? I don't. I think there's a better chance they get blown out and leave Aaron Glenn at Tottenham Hotspur and just leave him there and go on to the next coach.
Really?
I mean, no, not really. I'm being a little facetious, but I mean, that coach looks completely mismatched. And, you know, they fired a defensive guy in Salah to hire another defensive guy, and their defense is worse. I think it was a disaster of a hire. And, you know, they have their worst start in many years. So Denver at 7.5 right now, BetMGM, you tease that down to 1.5, you get through 7, get through 3. That seems like a pretty decent leg. And then, you know, the Rams and the Ravens. Have we heard Lamar? Is Lamar, like, I don't know what to think on Lamar. The line says he's out, but do we know for sure that he's out? I'm going to guess he's not playing in this game, but I have no intel on that.
The idea was, with the initial reporting, that, okay, he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Well, that means the game against Houston, game against the Rams, and then you get the bye week. Then you bring him back for the game against Chicago. That was,
I mean,
the
there's
idea.
No way. There's no way, given the market, there's no way he's playing per the market. Now, the market could obviously change. We saw a change last week when the Ravens went from a 6.5-point favorite to a 2-point dog. And then Ravens reporters are like, oh, you might not play. No kidding, moron. The line moved 8 points. So this number at Rams minus 7.5 in Baltimore says he's out.
Yeah.
And he's not even ruled out yet. So my point is, if they rule him out, which I assume they will, 7.5 goes to 8, 8.5, 9. So you may want to tease the Rams ASAP, get that 7.5 down to 1.5, because once you get to 9, 9.5, the teaser becomes less sexy given the math.
And you're not interested in teasing Philly, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I think it's a short list. Like, we came up with it. Rams minus 1.5. I agree. You brought up Denver in London. The favorites do well there. Minus 1.5, same number. And then on the dog side, we're looking at Seattle plus 7.5. But not everywhere has a plus 1.5, so you would have to tease it where you get the plus 1.5 to get it through that 7. But I think those are three pretty good legs. Outside of that, it's tough to make a case for any others. Well, Detroit, right? I mean, we can do Detroit. Plus 8.5.
Detroit, okay. For sure. Look, I know that people don't want to tease from 3 up. San Francisco plus 9, probably going to hit.
Okay. Check that injury report. A few teams in particular. All right, there are 4 strong legs that were 4 to 5. There you go. Nickel or dime on the other side. This is BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for hanging out on this Wednesday. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panayotovich. A big baseball day. Big baseball day because we've got 4 divisional round matchups. We'll see how many series end up closing out today. We'll talk about it with Eric Kratz, top of the hour of Foul Territory. He's always a fun guest. See where he lands on all 4 of these matchups going down today. You've got them separated by 2 hours. First pitch in all these games. We can revisit some of our favorite plays from that game during Lightning Bets later on as well. Joe O, Sammy P. All right, let's talk a little bit of Heisman because there are some things that have changed since we discussed it on yesterday's show. And we always do the Heisman watch on Tuesday mornings. And Sam, I brought up a couple of Heisman polls that were out there. Some of it was just to needle you a little bit, to get some reaction, like the On 3 one, and where they have one Carson Beck and just how they do what they do over at On 3. And then the RG3 list. He has Julian Sand as your Heisman number one on his list right now, which
you know, both of them have backed down the board a little bit. We're talking about that six range. Did not crack the top five. The guy near the favorite did not crack the top five in either of those lists. But you have another list, Sam, that you wanted to discuss.
Yes. So this is from The Athletic. I believe it's 15 people because the person in first place of the straw poll has 9 first place votes, 4 second place votes, and 2 third place votes. So 9, 4, and 2 is 15. I'm assuming it's 15 people. They didn't say, but that has to be how many people they polled. It just has to be. So they gave you 3 points for a first place vote, 2 for a second place, and 1 for a third place. The leader in the Athletic Heisman straw poll is Oregon quarterback Dante Moore. 37 points. Not really a surprise. So he's number one. Number two is the quarterback that Dante Moore will face on Saturday, Fernando Mendoza. 30 points. So 37 for Dante Moore, 30 for Fernando Mendoza. I don't think you're going to guess who number three is on the list.
It's not a guy we talked about yesterday that we laughed
at.
It's
not even a quarterback.
Is it the guy that we laughed at? Because we laughed at a guy.
Which one?
The on three one. We're like, oh, Beck's teammate.
Seriously? Reuben Bain is number three. He's three.
Mm-hmm. Are we laughing at that? They have him much higher.
I'm crying higher. On the inside. I'm not laughing anymore. Yeah. I'm crying.
So now we see a couple of straw polls that have Bain as high as his teammate or higher. Top three? Go ahead. What's the rest of the top five?
So it's Moore, it's Mendoza, it's Bain, Ty Simpson, Carson Beck.
Oh, Beck got in.
Barely.
Okay.
Well, not barely. I'll say this. So the numbers, Moore 37, Mendoza 30, Bain 23, Simpson 17, Beck 14, Jeremiah Smith 7 points. He's on line 6.
Results aside, I put more into this because I have used this straw poll in recent years. I'm sure you have as well. And when we get to the end of the season, we're in, okay, we only have a few games left here. People are going to be talking about this straw poll a lot. It helped me bet Devontae Smith in 2020. I was not planning on doing it. And then he comes out as the winner in a straw poll with like a game or two left. And he was still 5-1 that morning at a bunch of books. So went in like, oh, I didn't see this. Okay. They're not going quarterback. They're going Alabama receiver. And it came to fruition. So yeah, I'm looking at this. So Femi had a pretty good point on his portion of the show yesterday when he was breaking down the Heisman race. And I thought it was a very fair point. I want to see where you're at on this. He said, with Beck, it feels like bettors are in on it, but voters aren't. Like we have all these straw polls, and he was talking about the Athletic one where, you know, Beck, he's not one of the favorites, but he is in the betting world. So is that what's happening here? Do they have this bias against Beck? And we're now seeing it in the voting. Like my concern for your ticket, as you know, we've talked about on this show, has been, okay, he put himself in a great position, but all his spots to impress everyone were in the first half of the year. So where are those spots to impress in the second half? It kind of feels like he's going to need a 5-touchdown game or two.
Which is very possible considering who they play. I mean, I'm not going to dock a quarterback for having 5 wins, 4 of them against Notre Dame, South Florida, Florida, and Florida State. And he's got, what, 12 touchdown passes already? You know,
but you don't have a vote. That's the thing.
I don't have a vote. No, right. I wish I did. I wish I had all the votes. look, Reuben Bain is a top 5, maybe a top 3 pick. He is their best player. I'm not saying that he's not, but I just find it hard to believe that they're not going to take a quarterback of a team that goes 12-0 potentially and wins the ACC championship. Like, you know, we're going to see between Moore and Mendoza, one of those guys is going to slide back, of course. Alabama is probably going to lose another game. So of the two, of Mendoza, Moore, and then of Beck, it's hard for me to just think that they don't give the Heisman to a quarterback on an undefeated team this year, given you're going to probably have two of them. So that's sort of how I feel about it. I think Femi makes a great point, though. The voters like Bain, and a lot of voters are saying, well, Beck's a product of the system, product of the offense. You can't look away, though. If you look at their schedule down the stretch, they play a bunch of bad teams, which is more of an opportunity for him to just tee off down the field and throw three touchdown passes a game for the next seven games. And then he's got 35 touchdown passes on a 12-0 team. That's the Heisman. Mm-hmm. It should be.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or maybe we just keep doing this thing all year where who played in the biggest game of the weekend? Which quarterback won? They're the favorite. And we're just going to keep playing that game. It feels like there's a lot of guessing involved because the odds makers are going that route. It doesn't mean the voters will go that route, but that's what the odds makers are doing because they probably aren't quite sure what they should be doing on a weekly basis. Who should be the favorite? I don't know, Bill. What do you think, Jim? I don't know. Who won the big game? All right, throw Moore up there. Make him the favorite. But let's see what they do in the betting world. It kind of feels like there's a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, I feel great. I've got multiple tickets on Beck in the 30 range, between 30 and 40. I feel awesome about it. But as I said yesterday, this is far from over, and I'm not celebrating at all. I definitely made the right bet or bets, but he's got to finish strong, and he's got to put up numbers. So we'll see. The biggest move in the market happened when our show got done yesterday. We get off the air at 12 Eastern. Yesterday, there was a report. Pete Dammel, as predicted, said, Carson Mateer. John Mateer is planning to play. Never said he's going to play or not going to play. Kind of hit that middle ground. But the bettors didn't wait. Mateer on this show was 30-1 yesterday. And if you look at his range now, it's between 10 and 15 to 1. So just off a report that he might play, not will play, might play, from 30 to 1 to 10 to 1 at BetMGM.
Beck is your guy. Mateer is my guy.
I know.
Did I bet him again last week? Yes, I did. So
just keep betting it. Fire.
I want to
fire hose in the Mateer bet.
I made sure that I have some Mateer on every sports book.
Yeah?
Just like, let's go. Well, I mean, at 30, you don't have to do a ton. And when you already got the guy, like what the? I took the stance that I think he's playing this game. And
you've said that for weeks.
Yeah. Yes. So I hope I'm right. We'll see. There's a chance that he does play and he sucks too. There's a chance he can't throw the football. Like, there's that risk. But with the body of work he's put together, if he plays in this game and Oklahoma wins, like, oh, they're going to eat that storyline up if that were to be the case. They would love to see that. Then Mateer might be the favorite next week. Biggest game of the week. Well, that would be Oregon, Indiana. But you get my overall point. He'd be up there. He'd be one of them. There is a world where he missed one game, and it was Kent State. Who the hell cares? At the end of the season, is anybody going to dock John Mateer for missing the Kent State game? I don't think that's going to be up in this discussion. Because if that was part of the resume, people would throw it out anyways. It didn't matter what he did against Kent State if he was on the field. So, boy, if he's out there, this is potentially big. So you think that was all just Thamel? It wasn't like a specific sharp bet or two. It was just public coming in on Mateer at a good number?
No, it's definitely a combination of the two. I think the public definitely piled on, but wise guys don't wait for affirmation or confirmation. They see the report, because remember, Venable said Sunday they don't expect to have Mateer. And then on Tuesday, Thamel says he's progressing. He wants to play. Pow, pow, pow. That's all it takes. And then people go, oh, look at the market moving. Let me catch up. Let me jump in here. That's all it was. I did call a bookmaker yesterday and say, what do you think about Mateer? He said, Sammy, quote, it's the bleeping Red River. That's all he said. Well, that's what he thinks. I mean, like, how do you how do you not see the market move down? Texas was a 3-point favorite. Now it's a pick 'em or minus one. The Heisman market's getting whacked. Bookmakers are preparing for him to play. So we shall see. Remember, Venables, as we talked about yesterday, a few years ago, put Dylan Gabriel under center with a concussion in warmups, and then he didn't play. We're going to monitor this all week. Last point here. I know we're up against it. Paul brings up in the chat, there's 150-1 on Reuben Bain. Should we bet it?
Oh, man. All right, let's revisit that conversation.
It's probably not going to last, Joe. We probably got minutes, not hours.
I'm not betting him. I think quarterbacks, I don't think he's winning. But yes, could you get CLV? Yes. I'm not betting him. Are you?
No.
Yeah, same. Same. But that number, you're right. That's going to be gone very, very soon. Joe O, Sammy P, with you another hour. Eric Kratz on the other side, talking some baseball on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.